Oh my God, can you believe it? It's the year 2024. It's Melbourne Comedy Festival, and we've just moved venues. We're at the Grace Darling now. We had a great run at the Chinese Museum, selling out shows by the end, but now we need you to come over to the Grace Darling, and shows are at 7:15. It's going to be so much fun. I'd love to see you there. Let's have a beer. Use discount code DOGOON. The show's called Dry at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Then we're going to Sydney and Brisbane. Tickets to all that stuff's on sale now. And you can find those tickets and details at mattstewartcomedy.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart, and our guests this week are from Auntie Donna and Mission Zach's Leguizamarama. It's Mish Wittrup and Zachary Ruane.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Who knew it?
Fuck.
When you said titular, I knew it was going to be
Matt
one of those things.
Matt knew it with Who Stewart. Oh, no. Fuck.
Yes, it is confusing.
When you came up with that title, be honest, when you were like, fuck, I want to start this podcast and it's going to be about this, and when you thought of Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, you're just like, oh, fucking gold, son. That's good.
Honestly, the name came before the show.
I was just going to say that. I was going to put money on that. I was like, this name is too good.
Yeah, that's so funny.
This feels like a back-engineered name.
I realized early on, like in my late teens, early 20s, that Mish is a really great thing to replace Miss with, so misunderstood. So I've got a series of titles, Mish Understood, Mish Understanding, Mish Hap.
Oh my God.
Like there's so many of them. And every time I think of one, I feel like a fucking queen. I'm like, I'm just like fucking riding waves of money right to the bank with that.
Mish's dream is to start calling her comedy shows Mish Puns.
Yeah, but Will Anderson did it before me.
Yeah.
And I can't just copy Will Anderson.
Oh, I think you can. Other people have done it. Call it an homage.
You give that permission and then you open the comedy festival guide next year and it's Mish Wittrup in Will Philosophy.
Matt Stewart said I could.
I think that's okay.
Oh, she misunderstood.
She misunderstood.
So the way the show works is I ask a relatively obscure trivia question. Our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one and they have to guess which one is correct. Mm-hmm. Are we ready to play?
Yeah.
So excited.
So ready to
really
play.
Nervous. I feel I'm going to be bad at this.
I don't think you can.
And bad is funny. Mm. That's the great thing.
I just
thing
have about a few
comedy.
Self-esteem issues, but we can talk about that after the podcast.
I think, I think you're going to be fantastic.
Oh,
at this.
Thank you, Matt.
The first question comes from listener Chiharu Nishimoto from Kawasaki in Japan. What is the definition of the 19th century term queer plunger? What is the definition of the 19th century term queer plunger? And while they're writing their answers, I'll explain how the scoring works. So you get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestant, and another point if you correctly guess the answer. And by the way, I'm also playing as the house. I've put in two of my own fake answers with the help of the question writers, and I get a point for each one of these that our guests choose. So each of us can score up to 2 points per round, which seems fair, but the probability actually favors me, the house. And the house always wins, though. If you've listened to previous episodes, you'll know that is nearly never the case. Anyway, our questions come from our great Patreon supporters, and if you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dogoonpod, which is linked in the show notes.
I'm nervous and excited.
Same.
Are you being funny or are you really
I'm
trying?
Not talking about this with you. We had to discuss. Maybe I'm not being funny because I'm hilarious in real life.
Yeah.
Maybe if I'm being really boring, it's to throw you off my scent, hilarious scent.
All right, the answers are in. So here's question number one. What is the definition of the 19th century term queer plunger? The person who was in charge of maintenance of the Queen's well. Back then, the king and queen were called the Queen and Queer. A long metal object used to extract earwax from human ears. A Victorian era kitchen utensil used to prepare rat and pigeon pie. The employee of a shipping yard who was in charge of water levels, or someone who pretends to rescue a drowning person.
I've got so profoundly no idea.
Yeah, the same. I instantly go to Zach did the queen and queer thing. That's just my instant. Like, that's Zach did that.
Oh, I love this game within a game. Like,
I instantly go to that. I don't think the pigeon and rat pie one is real. It's too specific. You would have a very specific utensil to make a specific kind of pie. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Although multi-use tools really only came around in the 50s, you know, so.
Their kitchens back then were cluttered with all these, you know, like the popcorn popper and the smoothie maker. Mm. Hang on. That's today.
What was the last one again?
The last one was someone who pretends to rescue a drowning person.
No, that's not it.
You also had the employee of a shipping yard who was in charge of the water levels and a long metal object used to extract earwax from human ears.
Ear. Ear plunger. I think I'm going to regret this.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's right.
Okay.
But it's in its not rightness that makes me think it is. You know how sometimes something that feels a little fake, but I think this might be Mish's as well. But I'm going to go with the last one.
The someone who pretends to rescue a drowning person.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the water levels one.
Water levels for Mish. All right. Well, let's go through who wrote the answers. So the long metal object used to extract earwax, that was Mish.
This is going to ruin our friendship.
No, I love this. This is really fun.
Yeah, it is fun. I'm really enjoying it.
I'm having a really good time. Yeah,
same. I think this is such a good idea. And I wish we were co-hosts. I want to do this every week for the rest of my goddamn life.
Who knew it with Zach and Mish as a lawyer?
Victorian era kitchen utensil, a rat and pigeon pie. That was the house. You're right. It's too specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The person who was in charge of maintenance of the Queen's Well, that was the house. Then what do we have?
We had two left.
I got yours. Did I pick Zach's?
The employee of a shipping yard who was in charge of water levels, which Mish picked. That was Thanks Zach.
So much, oh, my God. Thank you so well much. Done, Zach.
And Zach was correct. It's someone who pretends to rescue a drowning person. So
well
maximum
done.
2 points.
I used etymology because they're a queer plunger. They're plunging into the water and they're a queer fellow plunging into the water. I was like, that is what you would call them back in those days.
Oh, get bent.
No, this is a good first guy. Always,
I'm going to be really bad at this.
This
game.
This is how my luck works in everything competitive. I swear to God, this is how it happens every time. I always luck out in the first one or two goes. It's, either I do terribly the whole time, or I luck out in the first one go at it.
Mm.
Then I fail again and again and again. So now there's this weird thing like Zach's going to be good at this game. And now I'm going to fail.
Right.
I feel like a lot of competitive people love these kind of games because they love what it brings out of them. I am the opposite. I hate these games because of what it brings out of me because I don't like to believe I'm competitive. But I am genuinely this, and we're one question in, genuinely just a little bit mad at Zach.
Yeah, this is good. Like, I love this.
Because he's 2 points in front of me, not 1 point, but 2 points, and I'm on zero. And there's a chance I might not score once.
What I
that has happened in the past.
It's going to happen. I'm going to be bad at this.
But you should also know there's plenty of points still on the table.
Fuck yeah.
And the final round is worth triple points.
Wow.
So truly, it's still anyone's game early on.
Yeah, I also really love, I love a competitive game that's funny because I think that I'm very competitive as well, mm-hmm. but I'm competitive to the level that if I am losing, I'll then switch to funny.
Yes.
And be like, I never wanted to win. But I was the funniest at this game.
A show like this, to the listeners, they're not really caring who's winning.
No.
To them, the winner is the one with the laughs.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes. The one who's having fun, the one who's
Hate
being
to break
fun.
It to your audience, you have tapped into Mish and Zach's worst qualities. So, Zach, I better start losing so I can start being funny.
All right, we're up to question number two. This one comes from Sarah from Dublin.
I love Dublin. I've been there. It's lovely. Have you both been there?
No,
yeah, I was there recently.
I've never been to Ireland. I will be going to Ireland at the end of this year. I've been wanting to go to Ireland for years. I've got family there.
Oh, cool.
Beautiful, man.
Yeah,
but is Ruane an Irish name?
It is. My parents went to Ireland once years ago, and they came back with a statue of the Mother Mary, and I was to build a little grotto for it, like a little stone house for Mary, because that's what my family members gave to my parents, and I never got around to it, and I think I'm going to hell.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
That's one of the worst things you can do, not build the grotto. Building a grotto for Mary's got to be up the top.
Well, I think late 90s Ireland, that was pretty high up. I think they're less on the Catholic Church now. But back then, God, not building that grotto, really.
Put a wedge in the family.
Yeah.
So Sarah's question is, what strange activity did Irish politician Gerry Adams reveal to be his favourite pastime in a 2015 interview?
Can you repeat that for me, please?
What strange activity did Irish politician Gerry Adams reveal to be his favourite pastime in a 2015 interview? Are you familiar with Gerry Adams? He's always denied being part of the IRA, but people think he's in the IRA. Bearded guy.
And the question was, what did he reveal was a strange hobby?
Strange activity that is his favourite pastime.
Wow.
While you're writing your answers, here's some more information on Queer Plunger. According to the 1811 Dictionary of the Vulgar Tongue, queer plungers are cheats who throw themselves into the water in order that they may be taken up by their accomplices, who carry them to one of the houses appointed by the Humane Society for the Recovery of Drowned Persons, where they are rewarded by the society with a guinea each. I should say Chiaru, also, who wrote the question, also gave an example of a queer plunger who was a dog. From Paris in 1908, apparently, there was a dog that rescued a drowning child from the Seine. Seine River?
The Seine.
Seine, thank you. And was rewarded with a succulent beefsteak. 2 days later, he saved another child from the river and once again was given a beefsteak. Suddenly, the drowning accidents became so frequent, the neighbourhood set up a watch. The dog was found to be pushing children into the river to promptly jump in to the rescue.
That is so funny.
What?
Now that's a move. That's a movie. That's a movie.
Isn't that incredible?
It's a movie on Tubi, to be fair. But
it's
a Tubi movie. It's a Tubi movie, but it is a movie.
I love a Tubi movie.
All right, so the answers are in for question number two. What strange activity did Irish politician Gerry Adams reveal to be his favourite pastime? Making chocolate from scratch? He only has a beard to hide a Queen Elizabeth-shaped birthmark on his chin? That his favourite pastime is trampolining naked with his dog, a drying, preserving and ultimately baking with the fruit grown on his ex-wife's property, or when he was a kid, he thought that IRA stood for Ivan Reitman Addict.
That's not a pastime.
A lot of those aren't pastimes.
That's not a pastime. Okay, that's not it. And if it is, that question is fucked.
There's layers. Yeah. There's layers to this.
So I may have changed the wording of the question between me coming up with fake answers.
Okay. Because there was also one about a birthmark on his beard, which is also not a pastime.
I originally had was written as what did he reveal about himself in this interview?
What strange thing did he reveal?
And I obviously reworded it, but did not change my fake answers. I wonder if you can spot them.
Can you please
read them again? Thank you.
Making chocolate from scratch. He only has a beard to hide a Queen Elizabeth shaped birthmark on his skin, on his chin, and I think
growing a beard could be a pastime.
That's a pastime.
Yeah, growing a beard is a pastime.
Yeah, Matt, I don't reckon you wrote that one.
That his favourite pastime is trampolining naked with his dog, drying, preserving and ultimately baking with the fruit grown on his ex-wife's property. Or when he was a kid, he thought the IRA stood for Ivan Reitman Addicts. He was an Ivan Reitman addict, was his pastime.
Okay.
Oh, that's tough.
You described it
the
as
three
a
that are there are tough.
Yeah. You described it as a strange pastime, and making chocolate from scratch isn't strange to me.
Well, strange for a freedom fighter, maybe.
Yeah.
That's the context cue.
Yeah.
Because I thought the same thing when I heard it, but that is the context cue, I suppose.
Yeah.
Freedom fighter making his chocolate.
I'm gonna go with chocolate. Fuck it.
If it was, you know, Walt Whitman, is he the guy? No, what was the chocolate guy?
Walt Whitman's the poet.
Is the poet.
Whitman's is the box of chocolate. Well,
yes. they're not the same guy.
If Whitman revealed that he was a freedom fighter.
So you've fully turned around, aren't you?
I'm going chalky. I'll go chalky.
Great. And then so it's out of look, I think that jumping up and down naked with a dog is very strange. It feels right, but I'm gonna just actually go with the preserving.
Yeah, ex-wife's property.
Yeah, the preserving the ex-wife's property. There's so much specificity there that could be
great writing.
That could be like an overthought, like written thing. It could be Mish's thing right there. But there's just some like left turns there that just feel like there's life. There's a life lived. There's a life lived.
That's a lived experience,
that's a lived,
man.
Fucked thing. So if that's not the one, then kudos to you, Mish.
All right. Well, let's go through who wrote the answers. Some of these are going to surprise you. Mm. He only has a beard to hide a birthmark on his chin. That was written by The House.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
When he was a kid, he thought IRA stood for Ivan Reitman. Addicts. That was also The House.
Wow.
Yeah. It's weird that the guy hosted doesn't understand the game, but that means that of the final three answers, you've both picked them. This could be anything.
Wow.
Making chocolate from scratch. Ooh. Mish picked that. That was Zach.
Thank you so much.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah, all right.
Thank you. Did you like the bit where I was like, oh, yeah, yes. I thought the same thing. But
when you said that, I went back to your message to double check that I.
Yeah, I was like, Zach is playing dirty.
But on the other hand, drying, preserving, and ultimately baking with the fruit grown on his ex-wife's property, which Zach picked, that was Mish.
I thought it might be. You know, that's why I was like, I'm going to pick it because if it's wrong, then the depth of that's a wonderful piece of writing.
Yes. And I think sometimes, and people in previous episodes will often do that, they'll be like, it's either right or I want to reward the writing. And either of those feel good.
This is how it's obviously he was jumping on a trampoline. That's the correct answer.
Yes, that's right.
This was my process of elimination. That's fucking odd, right? That's an odd pastime. Mm. I could believe it. But I was like, I don't think Zach wrote that one because it's odd, but it's not funny, really. And I'm like, nah, I reckon. But then I'm like, there's no way he wrote the chocolate one and that can't be considered odd. But then when you backed it up, I was like, okay, that's my
favorite. Yeah, sorry.
And I knew it wasn't the preserving fruit one because that little gem came from Mish Witchrup. But yeah, anyway.
As a general,
I'm on the board. I don't care anymore.
As a general rule, I will try and defend any answers, whether they're wrong or right. Okay. I'll defend it, whoever's it is.
And at the moment, it kind of feels like your team, Zach. That's all I was saying.
I will say that was kind of my thinking. What you said was, I was like, what's something that would be like, oh, that's odd for such a serious man to do? Yeah. I was like, I don't want to go that crazy. But the true answer was truly crazy.
Yeah, it's very straight up.
What, did he just announce that one day?
Yeah, in an interview in 2015, I'm going to read a part of the article that discusses it. And it's and it sounds weird. I think it's out of context and maybe he was joking, but it's even weirder than that broken down, I think. But anyway, I'll tell the listeners about that while you're writing your answer for question number three, which comes from Harry Green from Cows on the Isle of Wight.
Oh, beautiful. Not Victoria's Cows.
Yeah.
I used to go on holidays to
Phillip Island.
Phillip Island, a town in Phillip Island.
Mm-hmm.
The aisle,
racetrack down
the aisle there is more sandy. And
you get good fish and chippies.
Mm. You do. You get great fish and chippies.
Great memory.
Love cows. But I'm sure the Isle of Wight cows is good.
Yeah.
It's probably cold and wet.
So Harry's question is, are either of you wrestling fans?
I've wrestled.
Yes.
And I have been to, I go to Melbourne City Wrestling sometimes, which is a local wrestling.
Oh, that's right.
I was never a huge fan of wrestling growing up, but since I got into it at that level, I think they're like 400 seater venues. It's a lot more intimate. You can really feel the like and see the impact. I don't love it on television, but I like more independent wrestling. But so not crazy.
That's like a local Melbourne
company.
And do they get 400 people in?
Yeah. They do once a month. You've been as well.
I went, you hosted one once, you and your comedy group, and I came along and I got to sit VIP for something I couldn't have given two shits about, which was wrestling. And it was so much fun.
It's like everything, you know, it's theater, it's acrobatics, it's big people smashing, like they really are doing damage to each other.
Right.
Mm.
I would encourage anyone listening to go and see like the local version of the, like, I'm not super crazy about the big stuff, but the local stuff, I think there's a lot of merit to.
Well, look, just having that little bit of knowledge might help you with this question.
Ooh.
From Harry, Glenn Jacobs is most famous for his character Kane, who was the demonic brother of The Undertaker. But what bizarre character was he introduced as in his 1995 WWF TV debut?
Wow.
So you got to give me the character's name and a bit about their gimmick. Okay. So it's probably a couple of sentences.
Okay.
And while you're writing your answers, I'll let the audience know a bit more about Jerry Adams's trampolining. According to The Independent, discussing his hobbies in conversation with News Talk's Sean Moncrief, the Irish political leader was asked about his passion for trampolining. He replied, "Yeah, I do it naked. I don't do it with great expertise, just the joy of it. The dog does it with me. It saves me taking him for a walk. We just go out and bounce for a while. The dog loves it. In fact, I caught the dog doing it on his own." Asked if the dog can do any tricks, Mr. Adams bizarrely answered, "I don't want to discuss it publicly, but yes." Which is one of the weirdest things I've ever heard.
That's so funny.
What does that mean?
That's so good.
"I don't want to discuss it publicly." So he's asked if the dog can do tricks. He said, "I don't want to discuss it publicly, but yes." No.
That's odd.
That is so odd.
That is odd. Is he an odd man?
I don't know a lot about him, but based on just this, I'm going to say he's
probably a bit odd. What an interesting man.
Yeah, I know him by name and I know he's a bearded man. And I know that older people when I have a beard will sometimes say, "Oh, Jerry Adams over here" or something. All right, the answers are in for question number 3. Wrestler Glenn Jacobs, most famous for his character Kane, but what bizarre character was he introduced as in his 1995 WWF TV debut? Here are your 5 options. Big Ben, the Clockwork Nightmare. He dressed up as a bell, and his gimmick was correcting his opponent when they said something about Big Ben being a clock tower. He'd say something like, "Big Ben is actually the name of the bell, not the clock, but I'm going to clock you till your bell rings."
That's so funny. The thing I love about wrestling is that any answer could be correct. Whatever we're about to hear, anything could be true. So I've seen some wild wrestlers.
What are some of the local ones?
I can't remember his name, but he's like a rat guy. He's a rat and he has a rat tail and he's a rat from Adelaide. And his whole thing was that he's from Adelaide. And people were meant to hate him, but we loved him.
There was like an emo one as well, like a little emo guy that had like a full-blown emo fringe. And like decked out, like he'd just be all grumpy and real, like, you know, so like narky, and then just like threw Big Man out of the crowd when they tease him about his hair.
This is amazing. It's some real variety.
I'm so keen to go. It does feel like
it's so much fun.
It's incredible.
What was incredible for me was that I didn't think that Melbourne wrestling was a thing, but there's a whole community. And it's like, we all know that, like I mean, the damage really is done to these people. They are thrown about. But we all know it's a bit staged. But everyone just immerses themselves in it. It's like LARPing.
Yeah.
Everyone's just, we're in this and we're like on board. It's just a lot of fun.
That's so good. Mm. So Big Ben, the Clockwork Nightmare, that's option one. Then we've got the Plant Man, a militant vegetarian who has gone crazy from not getting enough protein. Then we've got Siegfried Squelch, the human sponge. He wrestles wearing a full body sponge suit soaked in water. He was a heel and the people hated him for flaunting the water restrictions that were in place at the time.
Oh.
And you had Isaac Yankum, the evil dentist. He had comically bad teeth and his entrance music was the sound of a dentist drill. Or the firefighter. He starts fires before each fight and then puts them out at the end. Imagine the firefighter versus Siegfried Squelch.
That's so
that would be a big match.
Mm. Wow.
So you got Big Ben, the Clockwork Nightmare, the Plant Man, Siegfried Squelch, Isaac Yankum, the evil dentist, or the firefighter.
I want Big Ben to be real. I really want that to be real. That's so funny. The Clockwork Nightmare. I love that.
I feel like you always go first. I think it's only fair for me to go first. What was the second to last one?
Second to last, Isaac Yankum, the evil dentist.
I think I'm going to go with that.
Fuck, that's what I was going to go
with. You can. You can definitely both go the same.
I think I know which one Zach's is, and I don't think it's the dentist one.
Oh, which one do you think is Zach's?
I don't want to say because I'm probably wrong. Well, unless it's the dentist and he's just doing this to throw me.
Yeah, I mean, I did generously jump in to do one. I would still get a point out of it. It could be a good strategy to get my point, to jump in, offer to, like, take the fall, but guess my own thing. God knows I thought about doing that move and maybe I've done it. But, Mish, what was your point about, but then I wouldn't have gone into so much detail if I did do it.
But also maybe I would have thought. I'm going to go with the dentist because I genuinely thought, and I think that yours was the vegetarian one.
And you were correct. The plant man was Zach.
Yep, cool.
Well done. Siegfried Squelch, the human sponge, that was the house. Mm-hmm. The firefighter, the arch nemesis of Siegfried Squelch, was Mish. I love the idea of a little fire.
That's what I thought of.
It's so fun. And then his big finale is putting it out. Then we had Big Ben, the Clockwork Nightmare. That was the house. In particular, Harry. Harry came up with the name.
I've worked
a bit of a backstory out for him. It's a fun way to spend your evenings.
That was very good, though. If you were to be a wrestler, I think that should be your character.
Which means you're both correct. Isaac Yankum, the evil dentist, is the one. Character.
That is very, very good.
AKA I Yankum.
Funny. I could just see him coming out with a tool and, like, I just saw the visual. Mm. As soon as I heard that, I saw the visual of him coming out to do the wrestle. Mm. And that's all the character needs to be.
Yes.
Is just what's the impact when they walk out? Mm. And then once they, like, then they usually disrobe and then wrestle.
Did you guess mine? Were you like, I reckon she's a firefighter?
No, I had no idea which one was yours. I just felt that Yankum was right. And then...
It's fine. It was a massive flop, though. And, you know, you love the idea and the name. Vince McMahon came up with it. He's like the big guy
WWE.
Oh, yeah, okay. There you go.
Yeah, so newfound respect for him.
Yeah, big time.
Even though it was a massive flop of an idea and it's seen as, like, borderline embarrassing for the wrestling community that it ever happened. All right. Question number 4 comes from Elliot from England. And the question is, which
from
of
England?
Yeah,
is it Japan?
Been a lot of, yeah.
Is the England of Asia.
Mm.
It is.
And we've had Ireland as well.
Yeah, which really
they would not
England at all.
I don't think they will enjoy you drawing that comparison. But Elliot writes, which of these is the name of a town located in the Test Valley in England? So you've basically just got to come up with a fake English town name.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
While you're writing your answers, here's a little more info about the evil dentist. Jacobs didn't like the idea of playing a dentist, but it was his chance of making the big time, as it was WWE chairman Vince McMahon's idea, as Jacobs later recounted. I get into his office and Vince McMahon walks in and asks me if I've ever been afraid to go to the dentist. I said, no, I wasn't. I thought Vince was just trying to get into my head. He said that he always had this idea for a character, a wrestling dentist named Isaac Yankum. He said that he thinks that I would be perfect for it. Here I am sitting across from the most powerful man in my industry and I'm trying to keep a poker face. Meanwhile, I'm going, dude, you flew me all the way from Knoxville, Tennessee just to tell me that you were going to make me a wrestling dentist? The character was a flop, but really that was on me. That wasn't a character that I could invest in, and I didn't. It was my fault. My teeth were painted. It tasted terrible. According to Harry, Glenn Jacobs would go on to portray Kane for many years, including in the 2006 WWE-produced film See No Evil. Former WWE creative team member Dan Madigan later revealed that WWE chairman Vince McMahon, which I'm learning is an ideas man, more than anything.
Not more than anything. He's a get as much of a percentage of these people's lives.
Man.
But this, how's this for his idea that he was adamant about, that there should be a scene in the film where Kane's penis was shown to be 3 feet long. It's unknown why Vince was so dead set on this scene, but they ended up cutting it before the final cut anyway.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's an odd guy.
I think that's a massive penis.
Yeah, that's
just also.
That'd be is it?
Well, it is for me specifically.
I just would know that, that, like, I thought that was normal.
All right, while you're still writing your answers, let's go for a quick break.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, so your answers are in. So here's question number four. Mm. Which of these is the name of a town located in the Test Valley in England? Wallopshire upon Thames, Jolly Good Shoten, Breadbinton, Nether Wallop, or Upper Ball Bag?
Are there two with Wallop in their name?
Oh my God, there are.
Can you read them again?
Wallopshire upon Thames, Jolly Good Shoten, Breadbinton, Nether Wallop, or Upper Ball Bag?
Oh, this could be yours. Nether Wallop.
Nether Wallop for Mish.
I think that might be yours, though. Nah, I'm going with Nether Wallop. I'll just lock it in. I've got my point. I'm good. I really like my point.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Normally, I've scored by now, and I'm on naught.
Oh, did I get a point last round?
Yeah, you got it right.
Yeah. Oh, I'm on 2 points.
Yes, quick score update. The house on 0 points. Mish on 2 points, but out in front, Zach on 4 points. Still truly anyone's game.
Oh, I think I'm going to fall behind on this one. I really have no idea. All of them sound very silly.
Mm.
I'm so sorry. Can I hear them one more time?
Wallopshire upon Thames, Jolly Good Shoten, Breadbinton, Nether Wallop, or Upper Ball Bag?
I think it's either Breadbinton or Upper Ball Bag. I truly think it might be Upper Ball Bag because that's so silly. That's so silly.
Mm.
Breadbinton also silly.
You've got to get in the mind of Elliot from England as well. What would he send in? And the way you know Elliot, I think you can get to the bottom of this.
Upper Ball Bag's too funny, isn't it? Upper Ball Bag.
Too funny to pick or too funny not to pick?
Too funny to pick and to... So with or without you by you two? Too funny to pick and... To both. Both. I'm going to go with Upper Ball Bag.
Great.
Against every fibre of my being.
All right, locked it in. All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. Wallopshire upon Thames, that was Zach.
You were right on the wallop.
I knew you were a wallop boy. I knew he was a wallop boy.
Is it because I addressed wallop?
No, no, no. When I heard the first one, I was like, that's Zach. But then when you did Nether Wallop, I'm like, that's Zach, but Zach's also a Thames boy.
I love it upon Thames. Yeah. I think it's so funny.
Yeah, yeah, upon Thames is the most Zach thing I've ever heard in my life.
Why would they say upon Thames? I know it's upon Thames. Yeah. I can see the Thames.
Jolly Good Shoten, that was the house.
Oh.
Breadbinton was Mish. Upper Ball Bag was Elliot, a.k.a. the house, meaning Nether Wallop was correct.
Yes!
Congratulations,
Mish. How amazing that you also put in Wallop for a question where the real answer was Wallop.
pretty crazy. Yeah, I feel like I should get a half point.
Absolutely not.
I feel like I
wanted you to pick
answer.
Brett Binton so bad. I was really proud of my answer. Well, too proud. Like, what a fucking loser. Like,
I thought that our ball bag, right? It's when you said you know Elliot, right? You were like, in your way, you know Elliot. And I what's crazy, because was that Elliot's offer?
That was Elliot's offer.
And I think in that moment, I reached out to Elliot through psychic connection. And I asked Elliot, why did you choose this answer? And the answer I got was because upper ball bag is funny.
Mm.
And I thought what that meant was this question was chosen because the answer was so funny. Yeah. Not I chose the question, then I thought of a funny answer. Mm. And that was on me.
Yeah, it was just a miscommunication.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's pretty good that I, you know, did connect on the astral plane.
Yeah, that was, Elliot. I mean, in itself, that's
in
fantastic.
Itself. And I also got half the answer right in my fake answer. I'm going to take that as a win.
To come away with no points after all that success.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, it's really.
It's a life win rather than in this podcast win.
I think there's just so many signs and areas of growth potential for me that I'm so proud of.
And what the main gift you just gave was a point to the house. So I appreciate that. The house is now on the board.
I did it for you.
1 point to the house. Mish is now on 3 points. Zach on 4 points.
Tightening up.
It's tightening
up. I'm happy with
Mish
three.
Mish is now happy and I'm now sad. And you're saying that I am as petty as Mish is, and I was just lucky that petty Mish came out first.
So if any listenership happens to have dropped off, which I'm sure they haven't, it's a great pod, but anyone who may have is just thinking that I'm the piece of
shit. I'm just like, thank God I lucked out on that first one so I could play.
I really, really mean it when I say all I wanted was to get on the board and I'm there. And
It's easy for you to say now that you might win.
Yes. Like, 100%.
If you'd said those things at zero, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, are you like me where winning is sort of uncomfortable?
No, I like to win, but no, what I don't like is to look like I'm a failure.
Right.
So honestly, I would have been happy with 1 point. And I mean that if you had blown us out of the water, but you didn't, because I am catching you.
And did I not say, you know, I always have an impressive start and then it gets wobbly.
I would say that you can't look like a failure on this show for no points. Saran Jayamana has been on multiple times and I think it was his third episode he got his first point. Oh, but he always gets the most laughs and stuff. There's no losers.
Yeah.
What if?
That's
what
nice.
If we don't
I like
get
to
laughs
win.
Because we're competitive.
Yeah.
And we don't do that well.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're on the record.
But also, like, Zach and I do so much together. Like, we do a lot of podcasts together. And
we jump on trampolines naked with dogs.
Dogs and stuff. We do all of it, right? But we're often on podcasts that include like some sort of like game about who knows who and what questions about you, whatever. And I feel like I often don't want to look like I don't know Zach as well as he knows me, because then I look like the shit friend. You know what I mean? So I always want to avoid that. And I feel like I have.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with that.
Yeah. You locking in on Wallop was fantastic. And Thames.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
He's a Thames boy.
I do love a pond Thames.
Yeah. Having a pond in a city name is fantastic.
I love.
We could be Melbourne upon Yarra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a funny thing to do.
Yeah.
It's good. We worked it out at Melbourne. We worked it out.
We stopped listening halfway through you saying where you're from.
I worked it out.
All right, we're up to question number 5.
Oh.
It's only 7 questions, so this is the third last question here. This comes from Rachel Johnson from Melbourne.
Melbourne upon Yarra. Yeah, good.
And Rachel's question is, Pete Conrad was the commander of Apollo 12 and the third person to walk on the moon. What were his first words when stepping out of the lunar module and onto the moon? What were his famous first words? I was surprised I'd never heard of Pete Conrad and I never heard of these words. While you're writing your answers, here's some more information about Nether Wallop. It's a small village, but actually once hosted a huge arts festival. According to Alan Burles, in a 1982 newspaper article written by Stephen Pyle, basically to the effect of, the Edinburgh Festival has had its time. Why not do a festival in Nether Wallop? And it was a village name just plucked out of the ether purely for its quirkiness. The charity entrepreneur who saw the headline was Jane Chuson. She had just set up a venture called Charity Projects and immediately rang Pyle, introduced herself and said, "Let's do it." The story also goes that the vicar of Nether Wallop saw the article and contacted Pyle to say, "Why not indeed?" And he added that if the festival did happen, the church roof needed fixing. It did indeed end up happening and was in a farmer's field and hosted comedy talents including Rowan Atkinson, Stephen Fry, Hugh Laurie, Billy Connolly, and Rick Mayall.
Fucking good lineup.
All right, the answers are in for question number 5. Pete Conrad was the third person to walk on the moon. What were his first words on the moon?
Mama.
Hey. Yeah, it's just oh, that's good.
Hey, I can see my house from here. I am a braver man than you. Alan Scott, you were wrong when you said I would never make it to the moon. Today we continue to explore a new world, but this is a victory for our world. Well, whoopee, man, that may have been a small one for Neil, but that's a long one for me.
Oh, was he a funny boy? This is what I want to know. Because if he was a funny boy.
Hey, I'm thinking of doing something funny. Just love the idea of him at, in like Houston, like, hey, Houston, I'm thinking of doing something like, hey, Houston, I'm thinking of doing something funny.
Doing some gig.
Over.
Do we know what year it was?
I can tell you. I just read a little book about the moon.
Oh, so you know the answer to this.
I know the answer.
You've been thinking about the
moon. It happened within, it was like, I don't know if it was 70 or 69, but it was within 6 or so months. Of,
you actually know the answer to this question.
Mm-hmm. I literally read this. Oh. This.
All right, Zach, you go first.
But no, I read a little book I was telling you on our podcast and you said it was nerdy. Little did you know that we would soon be on a nerdy podcast where my nerdy shit would. But no, I read about all I read about from 14 onwards, or maybe it was 15, they had a moon rover that unfolded and they're like a little car on the moon.
Ah.
Everyone talks about Apollo 11 like because it was the first one. The cool one is the little car on the
moon. I only talk about Apollo 13 because of the movie.
Mm. There's the movie. Yeah. But then they drove a little car around.
That was on, which one was that, 12?
I think it was 14, 15, no, maybe 15, 16, 17. They drove a little car. It went that long. Yeah, it went till there was going to be more.
Right.
But then it was really expensive and after 13 they were like, That was close. It's amazing that they didn't die on 13.
Yeah.
I'm going to go because I don't know the answer. I'm not a big fucking loser. That's it.
Do we want to hear You're the real winner
time?
Here.
Sorry?
Do we want to hear them one more time?
Yeah, go ahead.
Or what were you going to say?
I don't know the answer.
Which means that's how you're meant to come into this game. Zach's the one doing it wrong by knowing. So just so you know,
that's
Mish,
a rare thing.
I think that's worth a point.
I didn't know until a week ago.
I'm going to go with it's a win for our world. I'll just go like that one. Can you read them again? Actually, yeah, scrap what I just said. That's not on record. Go on.
Hey, I can see my house from up here. I'm a braver man than you. Alan Scott, you were wrong when you said I would never make it to the moon. Today, we continue to explore a new world, but this is a victory for our world. Or whoopee, man, that may have been one small step for Neil, but that's a long one for me.
Can we swear on this podcast?
You have been. Oh, have
I? There's two arrogant ones in there.
Yes.
There's two, like, you said I couldn't, but I did, and also I'm a big brave boy.
Yeah.
I'm still going to go with this a victory for our world. It just sounds like something from a Tom Hanks film. I recognise that Apollo 13 is not about this, but I'm saying I could imagine Tom Hanks saying that shit in a movie.
Yeah, I mean,
so I'm basing it off that, but I don't know because I'm not a big fucking geek.
Okay. Do you want to... You're going to, when you lock yours in, you're going to reveal to everyone that.
I shouldn't have said I knew the answer.
Yeah, in an ideal world.
But I thought it would add a sense of dramatic irony. I'm going to send it to you very quietly.
Okay, fantastic.
Because I want it to be a mystery.
Because I'm really hoping that you get it wrong.
It was Apollo 12. After talking it up. Apollo 12?
Yes. All right, you were right. Okay.
Here what I'm going to say to Mish is, in this book, every time they landed, they said what their first line was. And I think that your instinct about it being Like, they wouldn't do a rude, arrogant one because, and this is my belief, they never said it, they wouldn't have just come up with it on their own.
Yeah,
it would have been
right.
Like worked on. I mean, this is a big media event. It's like they've spent $100 billion.
That's why I went with the one I said, because it sounded like the most premeditated.
Yes, a committee's helped write it.
Sort of. Yeah, totally.
All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. Hey, I can see my house from up here. That was Rachel. Okay, the one. House. I'm a braver man than you. That was Mish. Alan Scott, you were wrong. That was the house. That's actually a quote from the Port Adelaide coach after winning the premiership. talking to Alan Scott was the club's major sponsor who wanted him sacked.
That's really funny. That's really funny.
Today we continue to explore a new world. Mish picked that one. That was Zach.
Fucking hell. Mish,
I would do the thing.
I'll play with you. And Zach picked the correct answer. Whoopee, man, that may have been a small one for Neil, but that's a long one for me.
Because he was shorter than Neil Armstrong.
Oh, very cool. Okay.
But here's the thing. This is the reason why I did my fake answer, was because I was like, the logic will be the committee thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. It's not going to be rude. It's going to be a committee thing. It's the second time.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that it was a funny answer. So I was like, I'll go with something really serious.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, what I love about the funny answer, whoopee, what is it, whoopee?
Yeah, whoopee.
That was a small step, is that it's still so written by committee.
Yeah.
It's like, we think it would be good to do something funny and personable.
Yeah, it's very funny.
We've noticed that you're a little bit shorter than Neil Armstrong. Perhaps we could play off.
And it's hard to sell a pre-written whoopee as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a very natural.
Yeah, that's true.
And like the information that he's a lot shorter than Neil, like was that like a known thing?
Yeah.
The reason it jumped out to me, I couldn't tell you what the other ones were because they said each one, but I remember reading that one and being like, that's an interesting choice. Oh, you went with funny.
The story is, which I'll tell the listeners in more detail in a sec, but it's basically he had a $500 bet with a journalist about whether he would be allowed to choose what his first words would be.
Well,
and that was him sort of proving that by doing a funny one.
Well, there you go.
Because you would think, because all the other ones are like the one I wrote. Mm. It's like, today we explore the mountains of a new world and like, you know, one small step for man.
That's such, Zach, you're so smart sometimes because that is exactly what I should have done and you did it. And I was fooled. An egg on my face for that.
When everyone was funny but that one, I can't tell you how happy I was. That was luck.
Yeah.
That was luck that it was all funny and then just like one legit sounding one in the middle. I was like, oh, thank God.
But even if you did go that way, Zach knew the answer, so he wouldn't guess yours. So.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right. Second last question here. Question number 6 comes from Paul McNally from Waterford in Ireland. Two Irish.
Never has Paul... Never has someone come from Waterford in Ireland more than Paul McNally.
And Paul McNally's question is, it's an American question, what happened on August the 31st, 1994 in Clinton Township, Michigan? So something happened that made the news. August the 31st, 1994 in Clinton Michigan. Township, Michigan.
Hmm.
Oh, that is an interesting one.
While you're writing those answers, I'll give a little bit more information from Rachel. So, yeah, like I said, Pete Conrad had a $500 bet with a journalist about whether or not he'd be allowed to choose his own words. The journalist thought the government would choose for him, so they agreed upon this phrase, which was a joke about how much shorter than Neil Armstrong he was. It's funny that it was written between him and the journalist, and they just ticked it off. Yeah.
That is wild that they let him do that.
Yeah.
I would have thought, like, it's wild that that was just him being a bit of a goof.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe it was his. Maybe it wasn't Apollo 13. Maybe they were like, no more goofing. We're not going to the moon anymore. If you can't be serious.
What year was it?
1994.
Okay.
All right.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Okay.
Is this the answers last question? Are
in second last
second
question.
Second last question. Okay.
Question number 6. What happened on August the 31st, 1994 in Clinton Township, Michigan? A beauty pageant didn't quite go to plan when 3 of the contestants started an anti-fur protest in the middle of the show. The inaugural extreme picnicking competition was held on the side of a cliff. There were 9 serious injuries, but no deaths. Police pulled over a 17-year-old driver on the suspicion of stolen tires, only to find part of a nuclear reactor in the car.
Oh, my God.
the actress Megan Fox was born, or the town formally renamed itself after the incumbent president to replace its original name of Lucifer's Bunghole.
Do you know that?
That's the house.
If the name had been more realistic, I could have gone for that one. That is the best
question with the best answers, because I have no idea.
And all of them could be true in a Ripley's Believe It or Not kind of way. Or, like, not all of them are Ripley's Believe It or Not, but...
Megan Fox was born on this date. Believe it or not.
I mean, she doesn't look a day over 25.
It can't be that. Megan Fox is older than 29.
Well, good is fast maths. Is
that how old?
Sorry?
Is that how old 94 is?
I shouldn't be discussing, excuse me.
I think you should be discussing, like, the entertainment and of the audience is more important than me, like, guessing.
Okay. Do you want me to go first?
I can go first if you want. I would need to hear them again.
Yeah, go for it. I think I know which one I want to lock in, but go ahead.
So you got a beauty pageant. Didn't quite go to plan when three of the contestants started an anti-fur protest. The inaugural extreme picnicking competition was held on the side of a cliff. Police pulled over a 17-year-old driver on the suspicion of stolen tyres to find part of a nuclear reactor in the car. The actress Megan Fox was born, or the town formally renamed itself after the president, changing its original name, Lucifer's Bunghole.
Oh, it could be that. I'm going to go with the car.
Car?
The nuclear reactor.
I'm locking that in for Mish.
Did you write that one, you little bastard? No, because I think I know which one you wrote.
I'm going to go with... either Megan Fox or... No, I'll go with the car.
Go on the car as well?
I'll go the car.
We're playing quite a defensive...
I didn't write the
that's
car.
That's playing quite a defensive
strategy. Yeah, I know you didn't write the car. There. That's what the only reason I'm going for it is I know Zach didn't, so I'd rather have him not receive a point.
This is bitter, cruel.
Which one do you think I wrote?
Maybe the car. Maybe this is a great trick that you're playing on me to get a point ahead, you know. Mm. It's a great strategy, but I don't think so. I don't think you'd think
to I don't do think you're that bright.
And it's also, it's got a
delicious little trivia bit.
It's one of those ones where even if it's wrong, kudos to whoever wrote it, because it's like, oh, yeah, that would be news.
Yeah.
Why'd they have part of, what?
Yeah. But so would all of them. The only one that didn't make sense to me was the picnicking one, which is the one I think you wrote, because if it's inaugural, why are they doing it if so many people die?
Do you know, I think that's a real, that's one of those ones where I thought it could be that because it's so crazy. Mm. It's so crazy, but it could have been like a rock climbing thing. And it was like, I loved my whole Guinness World Records books and Ripley's Believe It or Not growing up, and things like that are like, did you know people have picnics on the side of mountains?
Yeah, and it's like,
but who knows? I'm going to go with the
this was my favourite question so
great
far.
Great question. Ooh, and great fake answers. Yeah, fantastic.
All right, let's go through who wrote the answers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The actress Megan Fox was born. That was Zach.
Thank you.
And I love how you played it again. Even after Mish had locked in her answer, you said, oh, the ones I'm tossing up between, the Megan Fox one.
Yeah.
Did you see my
beat? I wanted him to go with that so badly because she's not 29.
I was trying to figure out who was 29.
Who's 29?
Miley Cyrus, maybe?
That would have been a much better.
She'd be about 29.
But I know her star sign and it's not all. Sorry.
Oh, you've really owned that. You had to. I may not have won by tricking you, but I did get you to admit you knew.
Yeah. All right, yeah, I guess that is a small win for you.
Miley Cyrus born 23rd of November, 92.
When is Megan Close. Fox? Well, Megan Fox is about our age, isn't she?
Yes, she would be mid-30s, I reckon. She was in Jennifer's... When was Megan Fox born?
86.
Yeah, see, she's like about two years older than us.
She's a bit older than us.
Yeah. Well, 2 years older than me.
She was just playing a 16-year-old in Transformers. Yeah. She's an actor.
So what have I said so far? That's Megan Fox. Then we had the town changing its name from Lucifer's Bunghole. That was... Paul, okay, the house.
Very good job, Paul.
Very funny.
Then we had the beauty pageant that didn't quite go to plan. That was Mish. Ooh. The inaugural extreme picnicking competition was also Paul, okay, the house.
Oh, Paul. Ooh.
Meaning you were both correct. Police pulled over a 17-year-old driver on the suspicion.
So which one were you?
Megan Fox.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's right. Sorry, my bad.
Oh, man. I'm like, oh, my God, what have I done?
So we were correct.
You were correct.
Yeah, that's cool news. That's a great little tidbit.
Yeah,
and I'll never forget.
It was the one I was hoping would be real because it was the one I wanted to know more about.
Yeah, sounds like a pretty wild story. I'm thinking maybe a little do go on.
Yeah, that's
a good one.
The house has never been flogged like this before.
Yes!
Quick score update. Going into the final round. The house is on 1 point. Mish is on 4 points, but out in front on 7 points. Ooh. Zach.
Very good, Zach.
You can get ahead with your triples.
But it's triple points in this final round, meaning 6 points up for grabs. Even the house is still in it. It's truly anyone's game.
Yeah, wow. Here we go.
So is this 6 points both ways?
Well, it would be three. So
three. Yeah.
So if you both pick house answers, I go.
I don't want you to explain because now I feel like an idiot.
I know. I think the question's asked every week.
Yeah, go on.
All right. So we're up to the final question. This one will be more like a short paragraph, you know, 3-4 sentences. It's a movie synopsis answer. The question comes from Ryan from LA, appropriately.
Wow.
La La Land.
Where they make the movie.
Yeah.
That's where they make the movies in La La Land.
And Ryan's question is, and I hope you haven't seen it.
So we just send you the title of a film?
No, I'm going to give you the title.
Mm.
You send me the synopsis, brief synopsis. Great. So like a paragraph.
Ooh, do you want it to read like the back of a DVD?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, like an IMDb synopsis.
Yeah, basically, yeah, like an IMDb.
Oh, this is exciting. Cool.
All right. So the question from Ryan is, what is the synopsis of the 1982 film Extro?
Extro.
X-T-R-O. Extro.
Extro. Okay.
And while your answers are being written, here's some more information about the nuclear boy. According to Arts Technica, David Charles Hahn attempted to build a homemade breeder nuclear reactor for a Boy Scout project in his mum's Michigan backyard shed.
Amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, so my God. Good.
Posing as a physics teacher, David managed to engage the Nuclear Regulatory Commission Agency's Director of Isotope Production and Distribution, Donald Erb, in a scientific discussion via mail. Erb offered David tips on isolating certain radioactive elements, provided a list of isotopes that can sustain a chain reaction, and imparted a piece of information that would soon prove to be vital to David's plans, which was nothing produces neutrons as well as beryllium. So he's doing all of this just posing as a teacher. He's sent a letter to this high up NRC, Nuclear Regulatory Commission guy, saying, I'm a teacher. Can you give us some more information for my kids? And he just used this to make a nuclear reactor.
Amazing.
As a teenager.
That's so funny and so full and like brilliant.
Yeah.
Like what a talented young man, but stupid.
Yes.
How can you be so smart and so stupid? Yeah,
isn't that wild?
Oh, that's so good.
So when David asked Erb about the risks posed by such radioactive materials, the NRC official assured Professor Hahn, as he was known to him, that the real dangers are very slight, since possession of any radioactive materials in quantities and forms sufficient to pose any hazard is subject to Nuclear Regulatory Commission or equivalent licensing. So he's like, you know, if you're getting, you couldn't get all that stuff without going through the right channels.
That's so good.
The NRC gave me all the information I needed, he later recalled. All I had to do was go out and get the materials. Hahn's efforts were eventually halted after someone called the Clinton Township Police on August the 31st, 1994, when he had been stopped on suspicion of stealing tires. Authorities soon searched his car. Hahn warned them that there was radioactive materials in the vehicle, and authorities proceeded to call in other agencies, including the Department of Energy, the Environmental Protection Agency, the NRC, and the FBI. According to Paul, while David Hahn didn't manage to make a full-blown nuclear reactor, however, he made his garden shed so radioactive that it was classed as a Superfund cleanup site. This placed it in the same league as Three Mile Island. And it took like over a year to clean it up, apparently. Oh. It was so... His mum's shed.
That's so funny.
Yeah, wild tale. All right, the answers are in. Here's our final question.
Cool.
Triple points. Truly anyone's game. And the question is, what is the synopsis of the 1982 film Extro? Gene Dover, a humble movie extra, is mistaken for an action star during a chaotic film shoot. A notorious terrorist organization mistakes him for a spy who possesses vital information. As events unfold, Gene must rise to the occasion, unleashing his unexpected skills to thwart the plot and save New York City from imminent destruction. That's option one.
Mm.
Option two.
Hard.
When New York Police Department officer Donovan Extra is unfairly accused of a crime he didn't commit. He must go into hiding while also trying to uncover the real killer. In the process, he uncovers a worldwide conspiracy to manufacture a virus that will lead to an army of killer monkeys. While trying to clear his name, he must also take on the government, his former partner, and a killer gorilla with a taste for blood.
Jesus Christ!
Option three, an alien creature impregnates a woman who gives birth to a man who was abducted by aliens 3 years ago. The man reconnects with his wife and son for a sinister purpose. That's option four.
All of these could be 1982.
Yeah, like, that's what's incredible about this.
I'm seeing all these VHSs.
Option four, Donald Avery, played by Arthur Reed, and his brother Frank Avery, played by Paul Anka, own a turkey farm outside of Utah. When Frank suggests they use an experimental drug, Extra, to increase reproduction in their female turkeys, Arthur refuses, labeling it a dangerous and immoral practice. Frank, ignoring his brother's wishes, feeds their stock with Extra. What follows is a horrific and frightening series of events as the turkeys seek revenge on the Avery brothers. Finally, in a twisted experiment, an unethical scientist named Fred Donkin splices his dead friend's DNA with that of a pig, creating a grotesque humanoid creature. As the pigman falls for the scientist's wife, jealousy consumes Donkin, leading him to ruthlessly slaughter all the neighborhood pigs. Driven by an insatiable thirst for vengeance, the pigman embarks on a blood-soaked rampage, seeking retribution against the scientist and anyone who stands in his way.
Oh.
You've got a rampaging
great fun.
Gorilla, all right. Turkeys, and pig.
Okay. Instinctually, my instinct is telling me to go the alien one. Like, that's just my instinct. But also, that is very Zach Ruane. The impregnating, yeah. I'm going to go the alien one. I would like to, like, that was just, because they're all so good.
Yeah. What was the second one?
I'm greenlighting all these films.
I'm a Hollywood honestly, heavyweight. When you said like you pick up a VHS, I can see all of these.
Totally. They've all got early 80s energy.
What was the second one?
Second one, when NYPD officer Donovan Extra is unfairly accused of a crime he didn't commit, he must go into hiding while also trying to uncover the real killer.
I think that one could be you too, Zach.
And then the alien was the third one.
Third one, yep.
And the first one was the extra.
The first one was the extra.
And then the fourth one then.
The fourth one was about the Avery brothers who used the extra drug on female turkeys.
Wait, then what was the fifth one?
The fifth one was another unethical scientist, Fred Donkin, who splices his dead friend's DNA with that of a pig.
Oh, God, now I'm not sure. No, I mean, like, it's too hard. I'm just going to lock in the alien one. It's alien or it's turkey.
It's alien or it's turkey.
Mm.
I think it's the first one, the extra one, the terrorist plot. Feel extra is action-y or it's alien.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, this is tough. This is tough.
The thing is as well, you have to understand that Zach and I both have a passion for, like, 80s and 90s thrillers.
Mm.
So this is very exciting for us.
I have no idea which one you did.
I think you're the police one. I do think that Zach wrote the police one. I'm fairly
the killer gorilla.
Yes. I think that it's possible that you wrote that one.
Thank you. That's very kind.
Or Donkin.
Who's Donkin?
Donkin.
Okay, well then maybe not Donkin because you don't know and don't remember it.
Fred Donkin, he's an unethical scientist.
The pig one.
The pig one.
Pig one, I can see the pig one.
Maybe you wrote did you write the turkey one?
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I'm going to go with, I'm tossing up between the alien now and the first one, the extra. Extra, it feels too right. It feels too close. I would go with that one if not for the extra thing.
Right.
So I think I'm going to go the alien one as well.
Extraterrestrial.
Extraterrestrial.
Yeah, that's what I got from
that. A man being born, that's cool.
Impregnating a woman who,
Unless you're playing me, because that would win it for you.
Mm.
You play me, you just jump in. But no, I'm going to go the alien one.
All right, let's go through.
I know that Zach didn't write the alien one now, though. So I'm in with a shot.
Mm. But the problem is if you're right, then he's also right and you don't make up any real ground. So it's actually quite a negative
way for Zach to play this game.
Yeah.
And most players would probably feel shame to play it that way.
He wouldn't.
I truly thought that Mish could have played me. I truly think.
Do you have an instinct as to which one I wrote?
No. And I think there's a part of me that goes, so here's what I'll say. I went to write a sci-fi one, like an alien one. And I was like, no. Because that's too obvious that it's me because I'm watching a lot of sci-fi.
Right.
So then I changed what mm-hmm. I wrote. But it wouldn't surprise me if Mish wrote a sci-fi one in an attempt to get me and then guessed it. But that's too brilliant. To guess the wrong one just in the hope of it's a risk. Who knows? I love the mystery. Okay. I'm trying to create some drama here.
Yeah, I love this.
All right. Well, let's go through who wrote the answers. The Fred Donkin one. About the pig man, that was Ryan, aka the house.
Good Ryan, job, really Ryan. Good. That There's was very funny. There's a lot funny. Of movies like that.
Mm. I could you really... think like a Zach and a Mish, and we like that.
I really could see that movie existing.
Yeah.
Like a real trauma kind of thing.
So yeah, so good.
That's real fun. Then we had the Avery brothers who made turkeys angry. That was Mish.
Turkeys.
Angry turkeys.
Isn't that funny? That's funny. Mm,
thanks.
That's good.
The one about the NYPD officer. Who fled to an army of killer monkeys and a killer gorilla as
killer
well.
Gorilla.
That was Zach.
Of course it was.
What about it?
It wasn't the monkey thing. It wasn't the monkey thing. It was the police officer thing.
What about the police officer? Just
I was like, you would write about a cop in the 80s. I just know that you would.
It's very copy. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. I thought the monkey thing, I was like, I want it to feel wrong. I want it to feel like those two things don't go together. Yeah. That was the one. Was, that doesn't make sense as a film.
Yeah.
So that means, Zach, you're right. It was either the first one or the alien one. The first one being about Gene Dover, the humble movie extra.
That's what I kind of, that's what I, if I was a better writer, I would have done.
Do you
also set in New York City as well. That was written by Ryan. Okay, the house, meaning you were both correct. It was about an alien creature
Ryan,
impregnating
you're
a
fucking
woman.
Cooked, mate.
Do you know what made me guess the alien one? It was because the alien creature impregnates the woman and then the child is a man that was abducted by aliens.
Yes.
Mm.
That's so fucking cool.
Yeah, that's so
No one cool. could come up with that for a blurb.
Mm. Right.
That's a thing that comes up while you're developing a movie.
You know, 100%, like, that's exactly why I picked it. I was just like, that is the movie.
Who comes up with that?
Yeah. No.
Do you want to quickly, while we're here, watch the preview thing?
Oh, more than anything.
I watched it last night. It is... I don't know. It's something. You've got to put your date of birth in IMDb to play it. That's how good it is.
Oh, wow.
This might be on Tubi. This is very Tubi.
Yeah, it could well be. Mm.
Tony's father has been away a long time.
Oh, my God.
Now he's coming home. Extro
That's ex-
has returned.
Exactly how I saw the titles written.
Once a man. He is now something more than human. Indestructible, ever-changing, evil. His mission, to avenge, to possess, to destroy.
Why did you come back?
I came back for you.
Oh, my God. Joe!
Extro, bearing powers of black magic from deep space.
If you think hard about something, make it happen.
So I feel like I should be commenting on this.
I feel like I should
wild.
Be filming your faces. Look at your photo.
Use it when you need it.
I've never seen a trailer in my entire life that tells me less.
Oh.
Extro. Some extraterrestrials aren't friendly. From New Line Cinema, rated R.
The tagline! Some extraterrestrials, they're they're not that friendly.
That must have been peak ET time or something.
Yeah, he's doing good with the That movie looks fucking cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
It looks wild.
Mm. It looks like set piece first, plot second.
Yeah.
Who? I want to pull it up. Who directed it? Oh my god, there's an Extro 2.
Oh wow.
Yeah, Extro 2, The Second Encounter.
It was written and directed by Harry Bromley Davenport.
Yeah. Look at his profile. That does look like a man that would make that film.
Wow. Yeah. What a dude. I love Extro. Sign me up.
And it hasn't had the best reviews. Critics on Rotten Tomatoes giving it 40% and audience 36%. So one of those rare times they've seen eye to eye. Roger Ebert hated it.
Yeah.
He gave it one star saying, Extro is an ugly, mean-spirited and despairing thriller that left me thoroughly depressed. Why was this movie made?
Wow.
What vision filled the filmmakers with a desire to share this work with an audience?
Amazing. Jesus Christ.
It looks repulsive. There's stuff in it that looks repulsive, and I'm all for like repulsive horror.
You can watch it on Amazon Prime.
But it looks it's a bigger film than I'm so intrigued.
Yeah.
The trailer shows me everything and tells me nothing.
Yeah. What is the story?
Like, I don't know the story. There's a lot of imagery and I'm like, how does this work?
They seem like they're from different universes, some of the horrific.
The melting phone? That was full on.
Jaguar?
What was that?
Now, it feels like that might have been one of those things where we can get a Jaguar for the day if we want it. Yeah, I'll write it in.
Or do you really need the Jaguar? Yeah. It's really hard.
So there's another reviewer, Dustin Putman, who gave it 3 out of 4. He quite liked it, saying, Extro may be morbid, unsettling, and even upsetting. It pushes upon boundaries and then crosses them. But it's a bona fide original of the genre.
Wow.
Okay.
I really want to watch Extro now.
I don't.
It looks full on.
Very full on.
I don't want to watch it.
I want to play this game, though, for the rest of my life, every hour. I loved movies. This.
This has been such a treat.
Well, you should come back anytime. I'll give you a quick score update. Final
score. We don't need to do that.
Yeah, no, we should.
I don't think we need to. I think what we've done here is established we all had a good time, and that's really the win.
Honestly, Mish, on many other weeks, you would have had a winning score. This is actually the lowest ever score for the house. One point.
Hey! Mish and Zach.
You didn't fall for any of the house's bullshit this week. In second place on 7 points, a very good score is Mish, but pipping her right at the end on 10 points, Zachary Ruane.
Thank you so much.
Well done, Zach.
This is such a thrill.
Where can people find you before we head off?
Well, you joined us this week, hopefully, if we can sync up the releases. You joined us this week on our podcast, Mission Zach's Leguizamarama, where we are watching every single film, game, TV show, everything.
And ad.
Ad. starring our favorite character actor, John Leguizamo. If you don't know who he is, look him up. You'll go, oh, and then you'll want to listen to our podcast. Really, it's just an excuse for chats.
Yeah, we just like to have chats once a week. It's nice. It's so hard to catch up with friends nowadays. So we just started a podcast. You can find us at Instagram at Mission Zach as well, which has all our podcast info.
So good.
Also, we just did an appearance on a podcast called What You're Doing, Matt Stewart.
Hey, what's the answer, Matt?
Smancer. I'm sorry to break it to you, but you got a rival in the business.
Oh, my God. And you've also got a show out on the Grouse House channel.
Yeah, at the moment. So it's a horrible, cruel show. But we have a series. We're both a part of a series called The Most Upsetting Guessing Game in the World. And essentially we've taken a guessing game from Whose Line Is It Anyway, which is a fun little improv game, and we've made it shit and hard. So what is meant to be a 5-minute improv game turns into a 40 minutes.
Where they just break their friends.
Friends just being really upset because it's so hard to guess. And it's really, it's truly awful to watch, but luckily people have been enjoying it, so
it's funny as well.
Yeah, I was worried it would just be bad, but it's funny and bad.
Evan Munro Smith's been working hard on the edits, across in the studio across from us here, and he's cutting out a lot of the stuff that just would be too awful to watch, I guess.
So yeah, we're doing that. And I also, last little thing, I also do screenings some months, second Friday of every month at the Lido Cinema. Sometimes Mish joins me. Sometimes I do it on my own.
Oh, Extra could be a candidate.
Extra, like genuinely I'm going to watch it. It might be a bit too full on from the looks of it. But yeah, it's called the Fun Time Film Club. So it's just fun movies, just so fun good. Films.
Snakes on a Plane is like perfect.
Snakes on a Plane is perfect. I'm doing, I don't know if this will be out before it, but I'm doing Wes Craven's New Nightmare in a few weeks, which is
so good.
An incredible. It's like a, Freddy Krueger from the Nightmare on Elm Street series comes into the real world. The actors and Wes Craven is a character in it.
Oh,
they're like, sick. Where did you get the idea? And he's like, he came to me in a dream. And it turns out like, it's phenomenal. It's
I've never heard of that. Sounds awesome.
It's going to be a real treat.
Brilliant. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, man, for having us. That was so much fun.
Thanks to everyone for listening. Please give us a 5-star review if you want to, or either way. And tell your friends if you think you know anyone who might enjoy it. Cheers for tuning into Who Knew with Matt Stewart. Now that you know it, I've been Matt Stewart. Goodbye.
I love that coat, Mish.
No, thank you.
It's fantastic. I wish, I was going to say, I wish I had a coat, but I do.
This is the coat
club. I see it.
Go on, check on the coat, mate.
The coat club. Mine's a cardi, though.
Oh, that'll be noisy, though. That'll be noisy on the microphone. It's quite a rustly coat.
Yeah.
If I'd known it was rustly, I'd
you wouldn't have encouraged her
behavior. Oh, I think I just blocked you.
Jeez, fine, hard to get.
I know, I made it end-to-end encrypted so Mish doesn't hack us.
Yeah, great.
Damn it! Then we must be friends. Oh, no, it says you're not friends with Matt Stewart. Let me... Yeah. I'm going to change that. I'm ready.
Jesus. People used to have two or three friends. Now with Facebook, people that used to be your acquaintances are friends. Yeah, right. As if people have 1,000 friends. That's my new bit is I do biting social commentary that's 15 years too late.
Yeah, right.
I know one person that has 1,000 friends on Facebook.
Yeah, right.
Sure thing.
Good to go.
Oh, I've already pressed that.
Yeah.
Did something just happen there? No.
Something.
I heard something.
Yeah, it felt like you disappeared for a second.
Yeah. Oh, and then
No, it really spiked on there.
Wow.
Jeez. Hopefully that doesn't happen again.
I think that's all right.
It's the kind of, I'd love to, I don't know what I would do to figure that out.
I'd be interested to listen back, and maybe it would be so interesting if you're listening back like to edit or whatever and you hear it and it's actually just someone being like, help me. If you turn it up, it's like,
Scary. That's a good horror idea.
Yeah.
You can't use that just because we did it on your thing.
You can have 10%.
It doesn't mean you own it.
You're a good negotiator. You've given off 10%. I don't think I have any right to 10%. You got 10%. Okay. I'll take
That's
it.
That's so scary. I love that as a horror idea. Like playing it back, like playing it back louder.
It's not an original concept. It happens in so many films.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's a real good, like,
in something, like, it's a core plot point of something.
I thought you meant, like, the idea of a horror movie about a podcast host who's recording an episode then listens back and, like, realizes there's a ghost in the podcast studio, and that's an awful idea for a film.
I was thinking radio.
Oh, yeah.
Radio's cool.
Radio's cool. That's cool. Like Frasier.
Like a midnight.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but like a horror episode of Frasier. Oh, my God. Horror Frasier.
The Graveyard Shift. It's called The Graveyard Shift, and it's about a guy that comes in and he's in the radio station on his own every night, and then he starts – weird stuff starts happening, and then he notices there's sounds inside the recordings of his episodes.
I think this would be great.
That's great, actually.
Yeah,
you he's two on his are, own
in the radio
Should
station.
We just scrap our Fresh Blood idea and
hey,
go with this?
Hey, fuck you. We're off to write a horror film.
You're warming up nicely. The last question's always a movie plot synopsis.
Oh, great.
So I feel like you're going to be quite good at this.
Yeah, great.
I really like the radio horror. I'm going to like write that down or something.
It's called I'm Listening.
Oh, that's fucked. That's good.
That's where I get my 10% from. Yes.
It's gold.
I think you should call your next show will illumination or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Illumination. That's a funny thing to do, a will pun as your title.
That is very funny.
And then that's the story inside the show.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Oh, I think that's
great.
That's
actually very good. I will genuinely consider that.
So listeners send in the questions.
So, yeah, the questions are all written by listeners / Patreon supporters.
Oh, well,
you
amazing.
Know, on our podcast, Leguizamarama, which you did a little appearance on this week.
We just recorded. What a fun time that was.
Leguistamos, which is our rating system on the John Leguizamo film. A fan came up with Leguistamos.
All the best bits.
Great thing about about podcasts is you can sort of crowdsource your best jokes.
Yeah.
Crowdsourcing your content.
Totally. Yes. I'm pretty sure a listener came up with the line, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I think that was a listener.
So a listener came up with your podcast concept.
Well, this concept was there, and then they just, I'm like, how do
Next
I explain
tell me
this?
A listener came up with who knew it.
Oh, the other thing I should say is I edit this, so there'll be silences.
Okay.
So, Phil, if you need more time or whatever.
I've never panicked. I was like, what am I going to do? And there was a part of me that was just like, what is he doing? He does podcasts professionally for a living, and he's just not talking. I was like, do I have to save this? Is that the expectation?
Do you only play with funny people? Because you should get like... I reckon dads would play this game really badly and it would be funny.
I've had the idea of doing it with the Do Go On co-hosts' dads.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing would be good.
My dad, Dave Warnicki's dad, and Jess Perkins' dad.
Yeah. Because I think good. they would there's just a certain creative spark in a game like this that you need. So yeah. Something about a dad would be like, that.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not
sure. When you said 19th century, what that automatically made
me think of? Yeah, that was when they first invented the...
I remember playing a version of this game years ago with the family, and Dad's every answer for Dad included the Amish. He just got on this run.
He's
drinking red wine and just going, it's a utensil the Amish would use. It was a cloak and jacket, an Amish jacket.
My dad was always a time and a thing. He would go, a type of hammer from the 19th century, type of thing from the then, a type of thing from the then. And once you found his rhythm, you're like, great, I can discount that. I did a podcast recently in the US. There's probably a few listeners that are fans of it, but where we read through an old 18, like an old newspaper, and news in like the 1800s is so funny. It was like, this fellow did upon the merry hour. Oh, right. You probably do a bit of in your research with Do Go On hit this sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, this fellow upon the merry hour did bop his head and die. What a peculiar incident.
Yeah.
The man responsible will be put to death. It's like, that's the tone of everything. You're like, I don't know if like they were just weirder then or if it was how they were. Worded things.
Like everything should end with a cheerio.
And I think it was almost like death was way more normal back then to come earlier.
Everyone died.
And no one knows why.
And no one dies of old age. It's always just like they're dying of something fucked in their early 30s.
You're just like 50% of people died young and for reasons that they couldn't quite ascertain. He just went.
All right, so the answer in for question number two, what did Irish politician Gerry Adams reveal about himself in a 2015 interview? Oh, yeah, no, that'll do. Fuck. I've changed the writing of the question and confused me.
That's fine, man.
So the answer in for question number two, what did Irish politician Gerry Adams reveal about himself in a 2015 interview? I'm just going to read the original.
Fuck.
Man, I really hate myself because
This is great fun, Matt.
Oh, I'm glad.
I just don't get to play games like this as adults so much anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think
I'd love to do this more in life.
I'd like to take this idea and just do it on a podcast, not here. You know what I mean? Let's just do this podcast.
Have you ever seen that tweet? There's a tweet. There's a tweet where a tech bro was like, "Has anyone thought about IRL podcast? No microphones or recording. You just get together and talk about ideas and concepts that matter to you." And then someone retweeted it was like, "Tech bro discovers hanging out."
Oh, that's so good. I saw one similar to that last night. It was an English, maybe like a sports commentator or something, and he's talking about going to Spain for 4 days over a weekend, and he's saying, "I'm going to not think about work. I'm having what I'm calling a mini retirement, and then I'll be refreshed, and then in a few more months, I'll go away for another 4, maybe 5 days and have another mini retirement." And someone's retweeted like, "He's just discovered holidays.
It's a long weekend, right?"
Mini retirement.
Oh, man. That's so good.
Okay, your answers are in. So here are... Oh, fuck. I forgot to put your answers in.
That's okay.
Jesus Christ.
It's all right, man.
I'm losing it.
You've done a lot of podcasts today. This is your podcast number 3.
I think the third one is normally where I start losing
this
my mind.
This is our podcast number 3 as well. We did 2 Mission Zacks this morning.
Yeah, this is three
people that have done three podcasts. So collectively in this room is the energy of 9 podcasts.
In a really cold room as well. Yeah. So you've all become, not so cold that you shake, but we've all become super frigid.
Yeah, it's true.
Just like, mm-hmm. I'm thinking about this moon thing.
Mm.
I'm thinking about the... Oh, fuck. All right.
Thinking about this moon thing.
Thinking about this moon thing. It's really hard to write an answer and be charming and funny. And oh, I'm glad you told me the edit was cut.
Yeah, you're not at all meant to. This is really...
That piece of information that this is edited is so valuable because I was like, that. My pressure was not to get an answer in. It was to get an answer in while being ready to be funny. Do you know the Fast and the Furious was originally a Roger Corman film from like the 1950s, and the cars weren't that fast. Cars weren't that fast in the 1950s, but it was just about a race and a criminal racing. Had nothing to do with the 2000s film. They just bought the title. So some people think it's a remake, but it's not. It's like they just were making this completely different movie, and then they loved the title The Fast and the Furious, so they bought it off Roger Corman.
Wow.
How cool is that? It's just a title removed because it's such a good title.
It is a great title, and it probably would have had a bit to do with the initial success, probably.
Yeah. It's worth it. It's like, but I love that idea that it's not a remake. They were just like, want that title.
That sort of That's happened with the Ghostbusters as well, right? There was already a weird English show or something where with a gorilla and stuff.
Called Ghostbusters.
Called the Ghostbusters. And when the Bill Murray movie got made, they toyed with a different name, but they just were locked into this, so they had to pay for the rights to the name, even though the movie wasn't at all connected.
That's like, Snakes on a Plane. That was a working title.
Yeah,
and they were, because the movie was a lot more serious, and then they were like, well, we'll eventually call it like Flight 72 or something. And then I think it was...
Wasn't Snakes on a Plane like a movie that was partially written by fans?
Well, because what happened was, so it was called Snakes on a Plane, and
he's getting a free little mini do go on right now.
I've been starting to chop out little interesting bits or funny bits that don't quite make sense in the game and putting them as like I think last episode had like 10 minutes at the end of just sort of like outtakes that were kind of fun.
Well, this is full outtake.
Yeah.
But I will just say it. I will just get it out. Was that, what was I talking about?
Snakes on a Plane.
Snakes on a Plane. It was a working title. They were like, and we'll think of something less silly because it's a silly name. And then they were going to give it something else. And then Samuel L. Jackson, I think, was like, no, I did this movie because it's called Snakes on a Plane. That's a funny title. Like, keep that title.
And he was right.
And then they kept the title. And then fans online got so obsessed with the title. They're like, that's such a funny movie that there were memes and stuff. And one of the memes was, I think I can't remember the exact line, but we got to get these motherfucking snakes off this motherfucking plane. And people kept posting that meme. And then it was such a big thing and people were so excited about the movie and were like, this movie is going to be really funny, that the studio was like, shit, we didn't make a funny movie. So they did reshoots to make the movie funnier, and they put the motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane into the movie.
And I believe there was like parts of the film where they put it to the audience or to those fans going, which would you prefer to see? Would you like to see this or that? And whatever was voted was what they ended up ultimately filming and putting in the film. So there are parts of that film that was solely which is why it's
Choose Your Own Adventure.
It's such a cooked film. I love that movie.
I haven't seen it. I need to
watch it. Oh, my God. That's a good one for your screenings.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, I'll come watch it then.
Yeah,
come watch it. Can we do that one together?
Sure.
Yeah.
At Lido, is that what you're doing?
My Lido.
Yeah, I'll come.
Sick.
Making plans, going to go to the wrestling, go see Snakes on a Plane.
Oh, we're going to have a lovely evening together.
Yeah, we'll go to the monster trucks.
I'm just really genuinely enjoying myself.
Yeah, I'm having a really good time. Sorry we're taking so long.
No, I love it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.